conversations, you know, we isolate, you know, that hateful message mm-hmm. of, you know, again, you know, hateful anti-immigrant, you know, groups and the right-wing media.
Right.
Not only Massachusetts, but also, you know, across the country. And we actually have a website where, you know, your listeners can, you know, go to. And that is www.welcomingma.org.
Excellent.
Where you could sign the pledge and where you could see, you know, what kinds of, you know, actions are taking place. We're planning to have a week-long of action sometime mm-hmm. in October. And in addition, a big planning meeting in Worcester, where we are hoping to expand, you know, the work that started in Boston and sort of start spreading it across the Commonwealth. And we hope that by doing, you know, by having a lot of success through this initiative,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're not only going to engage, you know, the average person, but also elected officials. And by the way, you know, Cambridge,
uh-huh.
Pittsfield, and a couple of, and Arlington, actually, as a matter of fact, is the new one, have you know, the city councils of those cities have endorsed this initiative and are publicly and actively engaging the citizens of those towns into a much different conversation that relates to immigrants.
Excellent.
And we hope that this effort is going to, you know, help us, you know, be successful at not only proposing, mm-hmm. you know, pro-immigration related legislation in the state, but also it's going to help us, you know, set the ground for whatever it is that is coming next year in terms of the big picture national immigration reform policy.
Excellent. This is WMBR Cambridge 88.1 FM, and we have been talking with Edwin Argueta from Boston Jobs with Justice. And Edwin, we're sort of running out of time, so any last little things you'd like to add to that?
If anybody has a question, you know, I'm more than happy to, you know, talk to you, more than happy to make a presentation about Welcoming Massachusetts. If you want us to send information about upcoming events, you can call us at 617-524-8085. And again, you know, to reiterate that, you know, our action last Wednesday was to showcase, you know, the mm-hmm. and denounce the impact of the raids mm-hmm. and in collaboration with, you know, local police departments and immigrant communities, but also to stress that the vast majority of immigrants who live in this country are hardworking citizens,
exactly,
not criminals.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Edwin. It's always
Thank
been a pleasure.
Thank you for the invitation.
All right. And we'll catch up with you at the next thing, I suppose.
Thank you to you and to your listeners.
All right. Bueno, hasta la próxima, Edwin.
Chao.
Chao. All right. That was Edwin Argueta calling us from the Boston Jobs with Justice offices. It's 7 p.m., and we are finishing up the last little moments of Sferio, and you know what that means, of course. That's right. We're going to finish up here real quick because... we know that the music for human beings is coming soon to open your minds. But first, really quickly, we wanted to let you know that tomorrow night, Saturday at 8 p.m., there is a fundraiser for the local and radical South End Press. They are a leftist cooperative of printing press, and they're having a big fundraiser Saturday night, starting at 8 p.m., going until probably 1 in the morning at Spontaneous Celebrations in Jamaica Plain at the Stony Brook Tea Stop. You can get more information on that. How can you get more information on that, you ask? Well, you can get more information by looking at the Spontaneous, I can't spell it, Celebrations website. That's Saturday. Tuesday, from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m., the Mystic Community Gardens will be open for public viewing. This is a community garden that has been in operation for 20 years and features involvement from immigrants from many different communities. It was originally started by Vietnamese immigrants, but now involves people from that country as well as Haiti, El Salvador, and many others. That's in the Mystic community area in Somerville. And one more thing we'd like to tell you about next Friday. This is sort of looking ahead, but it's at 7 p.m., so, you know, it's kind of right smack up against the end of Sferio next week. At the Lucy Parsons Center, Guatemalan filmmaker Willy Barreno will be in town. He'll be showing his documentary, Documigrante, and will also be viewing and discussing a film called Voice of a Mountain. These are films about Guatemalan ex-combatants and sort of the life of Guatemalan immigrants as well. You can catch those films at the Lucy Parsons Center, which is located at 549 Columbus Avenue in the south end of Boston. That's near the Mass Ave T-stop on the Orange Line. For this and any other things that you want to know from Sferio, you can always contact us at you can contact us at Sferio at WMBR.org, because that's an email, right? Yeah. Okay. The internet. It is a set of tubes. All right. Enough of this from me. Next week, we will have a larger contingent of Sferioites here to bring you all sorts of interesting things, as usual. And stay tuned now for Music for Human Beings.
مرحبا من الدكتور جالس السكران to music for human being. And with me today are Aurora.
Hello.
And Peace Child Peter.
What's up, man?
Music for human, even though we are here, you know, in control and with microphones and studios, the show is you. Call us and really be part of the show with us.
We're mixing together the human experiences.
At any time you want to call us and contribute and, you know, be one with us in spiritual ecstasy, call 617-253-8810, and we have two lines and a very lovely operator running the board, and, you know, will connect us all harmoniously.
Speaking of harmony, today I noticed the rain droplets falling from the sky, forming these glorious puddles, and the inner child in me wanted to just splash in them and revel in the beauty and the naturalness of splashing in puddles.
Yeah, there is always a child in all of us. Right, Aurora?
Oh, of course, definitely.
And Aurora, of course, I don't know if our listeners are aware, but Aurora is a voice specialist.
Yes, that's right. And the inner child actually comes out a lot in stressful situations.
Mm. Like in the rain.
In the rain, definitely.
For sugar people who are exposed to the rain.
Yes. For all people that are exposed in the rain, not necessarily just stressful, but times that remind you of unity and of the world that you're submerged in.
Sometimes when it rains, I feel that I'm like a dolphin or perhaps a killer whale. I feel like, we've discussed this in a paper that I submitted to Exercises in Meditation for New Age Life Practices, which unfortunately I found out last week was rejected, that the human species was actually a seafaring species until recently, according to a theory which I uncovered during a very deep and prolonged meditation, and during which time I discovered that dolphins and killer whales do not sleep for the first month of their lives.
Sometimes I feel as though we don't sleep for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, it's ironic. Aurora, what effect do you feel sleep has on the voice?
Sleep allows the voice to go into the natural state.
I'm sorry, I said sleep, but I meant tea.
Well, it depends on the herbs, of course, involved, and, peppermint teas bring out the fluids, which enhance the orange halo, allowing your voice to relax and be more calm, in the same sense that chamomile also calms your voice. But teas with caffeine, such as Earl Grey or Irish breakfast teas, they're harsher. They're less attuned in nature, and they
affect the yellow aura more.
Yes, exactly.
The yellower, harsher aura. And I wonder, you know, I bring up the tea because we have in the studio with us our tea specialist, Peace Child Peter, who is well known in the, you know, appropriate circles for a red tea, which he has pioneered as a pioneer of teas. So, Peter, could you tell us a little bit about the chakric effect this has, or the vocal effect the tea has? You've spoken, of course, of the tea many times during the the show. So I wonder if you could expound and enlarge become turgid and about this topic here.
Well, when I lived in Chico, California, during the
Renaissance.
Well, the late 80s.
The New Age Renaissance.
There was a singer who had grown up there. She was very into these voice things like Aurora. And she aspired to move to New York and be discovered, I suppose. Well, she had a very bad throat ache before an important audition. She'd heard of me, so she came. And I could tell that her aura was very dark. I believe I've mentioned on this show that I can sometimes see auras given the right
atmospheric conditions.
Yes, yes, and the right mood, and so that day I could, and her aura was very dark, and so I recommended a tea I had been experimenting with at the time, which I called my Engenders tea. It's a little different. Do we have a call?
Well, no. Apparently, yeah, we did.
I thought I saw our operator waving. Mm-mm. So,
please continue.
I will. So my Engenders tea, I gave it to her, and it soothed her throat and made her voice better, and her aura actually became a bright purple, a deep bright purple. She's waving at me again. Let's see if we can get a call through here. Caller?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I'm just really into the conversation you have at hand. Very informative on different teas. And I was wondering what sort of teas you think would be good for evening.
Well, I think depending on your flavor... I'm sorry, sir. Where are you? It sure is loud there.
Ah, yes.
Was there any way to turn down that background noise a little bit?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Our programmer is telling us to turn down your radio, if you have a radio. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I was just wondering what sort of tea you had in mind that would be good to sip at nighttime.
For the evening, I find that depending on your taste, any tea which is lacking caffeine will be quite good, and often with a little bit of honey in it to give it that extra sweet kick and soothes the throat is very nice in the evenings.
That's very tasty.
Yes.
I personally enjoy a combination of chamomile, peppermint, and lemongrass.
Yes, that's a common one.
Mmm.
Is there any particular affliction, like do you have unnatural dreams of a vivid nature or recurring
daymares? I actually have some skin rashes.
This happens to be my field of expertise.
I'm
a transdermal mediator.
Oh, really?
And so whereabouts are the protrusions located?
I have one on the bottom of my foot, actually, which really bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
And one on my arm, which I don't know if that is some sort of lesion or not. I should go just have that checked out.
And are these painful to the touch?
No, they just look kind of weird, actually. I don't really feel much pain anymore.
Or discomfort, or itching, or...
I actually try to not think about the pain and kind of zone out on healing more.
So that's great. That's the very good first step.
I wrap it.
On the, you mediate between your skin and your soul by, you know, dissociating from the protuberances. So, and how long has the one on your foot grown?
I don't know. It's kind of painful. It's kind of too painful to even think about anymore sometimes. I have to walk around in this big cast sometimes, and people say it might be gangrene, but... You know, I don't really believe in things like that.
Yeah,
so I'm just sipping my tea and listening to your show.
I had a client once who had a terrible rash, and she couldn't figure out what it was. It ended up being poison ivy. But when I told her that it was poison ivy and she should not go on these trips through the forest anymore, these spiritual journeys of hers. So she didn't believe me because she didn't believe in such things as poison ivy and that she would try to commune with nature.
That's how I got it. I was on an actual vision quest with a few friends of mine trying to get rid of all the bad toxins in our hearts and our spirits. And
an important
I came across some poison ivy that, you know, we were all kind of running around naked and I stepped in some and I, skidded a little bit.
Well, listen, caller, if you really believe that it is gangrenous, I urge you to seek a qualified healthcare professional.
Well, this was the point about the woman in the woods, just because I believe the caller said he doesn't believe in such things like that. So,
so I'm not licensed to practice, you know, medical diagnostical.
I'm qualified.
Yeah, in the United States.
But
I would refer you to a number of professionals in the area. There are many doctors.
Okay. Yeah, you know what the best nation in the world is?
I really believe the nation of believing New Age souls is the greatest nation.
Turn it up.
But Go Nation as well.
Donation, D-O.
Oh, donation. Yeah, that makes more sense. Yeah. Great. So, if you could, but otherwise, you know, if the protrusions turn out not to be gangrenous, meditation, you know, continuing in that vein, and perhaps some healing salves and candles. Along with the tea, should hopefully resolve these issues. We have another call. Hello?
Hello.
Oh, Robert.
Could you turn off your radio, Robert?
I would like you to define. Am I finding you? I would like you to please define New Age soul. And then explain why I should trust this New Age soul that you speak of. Hello?
Robert, if you could, my engineer is indicating that you should turn down your radio. Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
Who should you trust?
Well, the engineer does seem wise.
He knows his thing.
You should trust yourself, Robert. Every soul can be a New Age soul. It's only within yourself that you can find it.
This is true.
Well, also the, you ask me to define the New Age, and it's one of those terms that's very cloudy and requires much. It's one of those things that I can tell you what New Age is not better. But New Age is really whatever, the practitioners of New Age want New Age to be.
Okay, I imagine it's lots of many, it seems more like older practices, what I gather from listening to this radio show, that you promote more practices that seem I don't really care to define it. I was joking a minute ago. It sounded silly.
Well, Robert, hang in there. We have another call. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Oh, yeah, hi.
Oh, hello.
Hey, hang on just a minute. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Hang on just a minute.
And Robert, although...
Again, these resonances, these echoes of our past.
Well, it's possible that the resonances are occurring because of the intense spiritual concentration, but our engineer insists that the callers please turn down their radios. Okay. All right, I'm afraid I'm forced to turn those guys down, but I'll hang up as well. But please call us back if you can turn off your radios.
Is our first caller still with us?
Well, let's see. We actually have two calls now, so maybe they're the same people. Hello?
Hello?
Hi. I was just saying that... being as the show has started out with a few characters, shall we say, don't forget the moon is full tonight. And that's about it.
Thank you, caller, for your contribution. The moon is full tonight. And down. Hello? Are you there?
Hey, I'm here. Hey, Arthur here.
Oh, Arthur, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Hey, my cousin just called in. He just cooked up some kimchi, though. He had to go.
Oh, kimchi jjigae.
Yeah, he's kind of scatterbrained, Like, we wanted to call in, but kind of cook some food at the same time, and that's okay, I'm here. Bodhi Ponte.
Welcome, Arthur. And how are your journeys?
Hey, pretty good. Still here in New York City. It's been mostly a journey of the mind. I haven't gone too far spatially, really.
Are you?
Yeah, I was thinking about what you said, though, about some of those animals who don't sleep in those first years of their lives.
For the first month, Arthur.
Oh, I thought the the orca whale didn't sleep the baby for its first year.
Oh, I was not aware. My understanding was it was only a month.
Okay, I might have heard that somewhere else. Yeah, it's just interesting because, you know, human babies have that same tendency. I think, you know, anyone who's been around a newborn knows that nobody in the house is going to sleep, but especially the newborn, they just have this inner essence to stay awake. And I just wonder if we're taking a step backwards by our whole culture obsessed with putting the baby to sleep, you know, getting a crib and that dangly thing that kind of comforts it and singing lullabies and all of that. And yeah, I wonder if we have something to learn from the animals and if we could put that to use ourselves, you know.
It really leads one to wonder whether or not, you know, in the future, you know, of course, in spiritual ancient cultures, the baby would not sleep, the human baby, for a month after birth. And maybe, you know, we're now putting the baby to sleep, and in the future, we may even put the baby down altogether, you know?
Yeah, I just wonder if some of the systematic problems in our society come from kind of unnaturally muffling just general urges like this, you know, like maybe because a newborn isn't sleeping very well, who knows what kind of problems that could cause, you know, like, you know, maybe it's road rage or, I have no idea, but it just,
you know, it's
interesting. My general bias would be towards thinking it maybe cause some, just any kind of unnatural manipulation would cause some kind of ill.
Arthur, one time I was communing in the woods, and I had just had some of my red tea, and when I have this tea, I feel more at one with the world, and especially nature in certain circumstances. And I was there in the woods, and perhaps you remember a while ago I told of a story of how I came to tea with birds around me.
Uh-huh.
Well, the same species of bird came, and he seemed to speak to me. And he asked me what I was doing there, and I said I wanted to learn from them and be more like them. And one of the key points he tried to communicate to me was that I am a human and he is a bird. And what's good for the bird may not be so good for the human. Just because the whale decides not to sleep for the first month or first year of its life,
Yeah.
does not mean that the bird should not, or the lamb, or the calf, or the human.
No, sure, but look at what I'm saying, though. I mean, anyone who's been around a newborn knows a newborn doesn't want to sleep, and we have this whole culture obsessed with it, you know.
But the newborn sleeps all the time.
The sleeping powders, you know, all that stuff.
I think it is the very problem that the newborn sleeps all the time, that when nighttime comes and the rigors of society demanding that it sleep at night comes, that is when it rebels and it says, no, I have slept today and now I'm awake and I'm hungry.
Yeah, they're just really interesting creatures. I guess I got newborns on my mind. I came into contact with one today. Just a family friend came in and we were in kind of a big gathering. Didn't talk to her in particular, but she had her child with her. And I got really fixated on the kid. I think we communed for a minute, and then you know, he started breastfeeding, and I was just kind of like lost in the zone, kind of fixed on it, and then made eye contact with the mom, and then realized, and then kind of, you know, like sometimes you're looking at someone and you turn away like you're really not, but she probably knew.
Yeah, I really have to disagree with Peter here because according to my paper, at one point, you know, the human species and the, you know, dolphin species, they were one species, you know, very recently. And so if it's natural, you know, in the unaffected, you know, the dolphin unaffected by Republicans and by other cultures, if this is the way that they behave, I believe this is, you know, what nature intended for the human baby.
From the voice perspective, the human voice becomes more like the dolphin voice. When they're lacking sleep, I once did a study. I stayed awake for a week to see what would happen to my voice. And it was very affected, but very mellow. And I think there's a lot to be gained from experiences such as those.
Yeah, I've been working on this sleeping strategy where, you know, the idea is anytime you go to sleep, you're kind of recharging your batteries, right? Like, that's kind of a useful working analogy. Your batteries, you know, through running, through expanding energy, you drain your batteries and you have to charge them up. And it's this technique to sort of supercharge your batteries. You can use it with essential oils or, you know, I made this coffee mixture. But the way it works is you kind of refine it down to sort of like an espresso shot sort of amount, or, you know, like an energy drink will work too, but just look out for the chemicals. But you slam it down really fast, you know, like a shot, and let natural sleep come in as it would kind of before the active effects happen. And it's kind of risky because if you wait too long to go to sleep, you're not going to be able to sleep. But, you know, if you time it right, you pass out and, you know, the concoction kicks in and you kind of, you supercharge your batteries. And I've tried this a couple times and, you know, just like, it's pretty amazing how different it is, you know, like 1 or 2 hours later, you'll just leap out of bed and already be talking, words coming out of your mouth, you know, ready to go, like going on with your day.
We seem to be having some technical difficulties at the station here. I apologize to everyone. We're trying to get everything back online. The issue seems to be that our speakers have gone out and we cannot hear what's on the air, though you can hopefully hear me. Our technician is trying to get this fixed as soon as possible, so if you can please hold on, we'll try to be back with you as soon as we can.
You're on the air. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're on the air.
Hello? Hello? Yes, this just reminded me of... I was listening to the radio show, I had my candles, I'm sitting in a circle. And all I could think of was, this really makes me feel like when I wake up in the morning, I have some cereal, and it's Breakfast of Champions. It's like colon blow. I don't know if any of you have ever had it. There's even super colon blow. Yeah, the special thing about these types of Breakfast of Champions is it really packs a blast of fiber right when you need it in the morning to give you that kick start. Combined with milk, iron, vitamin B12, B16, it's really a full body nutrient.
Hello? You know, I've had a profound experience from meditation. Where things that were quite complicated became quite simple. And I found that this meditation on morning ritual and drinking tea to relax, to go to sleep, and sleeping and waking and becoming nourished in the morning with cereal, and cleansing the body, emptying out the former, it just brought such a clear image of the world's energy problems, and something that hasn't been thought of before was it just is right there in front of my face. And I'm not an expert on energy, but I thought maybe I could put it out to the community of friends here. And it sounds maybe simple, maybe not even that intelligent, but it's, you know, maybe this is an avenue that hasn't been looked at that maybe we could check out.
Hello?
But what I was seeing was extracting water from petroleum. And then from that water, you have hydrogen, an unlimited supply of hydrogen that's in the water. But it's taken from the petroleum, so we're in tune with the present economy. It fits in with the oneness. You might call this a oneness economic vision. You know, taking the best from the worst. Pure water from grungy, cruddy petroleum. And I just wanted to to extract hydrogen and to build a new world. And I'm just going to listen for how spirit moves the audience to respond to that.
Hello?
Hello, yes?
Hello, so apparently we're off the air.
Oh, okay.
Our transmitter just went. So if you could, hang in there.
Sure, with you. We're with you, man.
Okay.
We're in this together.
Oh, excellent. Okay, so, hang on, and as soon as the transmitter is back up, I'll patch it through.
You got it.
Okay, thank you. Masnami.
Namaste. This earlier discussion about the transcendental human being's growth and development really wanted me to ask if there are any people in the audience out there today who are experiencing transcendental development psychology. I really feel like this is the last connection in the circle that we're missing tonight, and without it, I'm not sure where else we'd be. I don't know if any of you have taken a look at some of the early pictures, photographs, videos, microfiche, what have you, and observed these similarities in form and functionality of the fetal organism, whether it's a seal, a porpoise, a pig, a cow, or a human. They all share remarkable similarity. Perhaps we can take this moment to really think, listen to the inner child within us, and just exhale. One more time. In. Out. And a third time. Now, if you listen closely throughout that process, you can really feel the transpiration happening from the bottom of your lungs all the way off to the top of your forehead. It's really a connected movement that revolves around the center middle fifth chakra that we all have. Perhaps we all forget, but this is the time to be thinking about it. You must focus your energy, whether you're drawing your energy from the candle in the room. Perhaps it's that incandescent light. Or, if you're fortunate, maybe your feet are on the earth and you feel it coming directly from Mother Nature. But regardless, you have to take these feelings and this energy, the energy that's flowing through all of us, and it should be released through the fourth chakra. You may be asking which one is the fourth, and I know that this is a common question that we all come across in the beginning purposes of our inner chakra experimental learning process. And really, this is not something to be concerned about, whether you forget if it's the second or maybe the fifth or the eighth. Really, these numbers are oftentimes irreplaceable. However, you have to be concerned about the order in which you go. You may consider that it's a top-down approach. Perhaps you're more of a macro-minded individual.